Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sight Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and it's wonderful for me to be with you again on this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer, a day when we take those special intentions that are near and dear to your hearts and lift them up to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what better time as we await his coming. Now, after our prayer intentions, I have an exceptional Christmas story to share with you. It's a true story about someone who loved children so much, someone who did beautiful things for children, until something happened that could have changed that person's whole life and the lives of the children. It's a perfect Christmas story for all. And when I was researching it and looking into it, I just felt the power of the Holy Spirit come through in this person's life. So I'll get to that story in a little while. So hang in there, and I think you're going to agree that this story is something special, especially at this time of year. Now, we are in the holy season of Advent. It's coming to a close. This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And we know what that means. It means that Christmas is right around the corner. And we sometimes fall into the trap of doing the have-tos, all the have-tos. But in reality, they take us away from Christmas. I know I'm as guilty as the next person. I get busy myself. We have to buy the gifts. We have to prepare the food. We have to decorate, put the tree up, put the lights out. But did you ever think of giving a gift to yourself? A gift to yourself. Advent means coming. Coming of the baby Jesus. The coming of the Savior of the world. And even further, the coming of Jesus at the end of time. So we see here like a dual preparation. We see Jesus coming now at Christmas and at the end of time. And that's something that we do want to be prepared for, don't we? Mm-hmm. So now it's time to get ready to meet and greet Jesus. Do you know when we prepare ourselves spiritually at this time of year, everything else we have to do seems lighter, seems less stressful. At least I do. When I can do that, I do find that happen. If we just don't get caught up in all the have-tos, we can feel that being less stressful. We do it with a different attitude. Why? Because we are in right order within ourselves and with our God. We are human beings made up of body, mind, and spirit. And that spirit, that Holy Spirit, is calling us to feed our spiritual side. So we're going to begin with prayer, and then I have some prayer intentions. That is the purpose of our day, our third Friday of the month, our prayer petitions, and we're going to call upon the Holy Family, the baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to intercede for our intentions today. And then, as I said, I have a very special Christmas story to share with you, one that the whole family will enjoy. Okay. So we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are coming to the end of Advent. And if you've been away, do you want to come back to Jesus? But you don't know how? If someone said to you, Jesus is in the next room, lying in a manger, and he wants you to go in to see him. This would be perfection. This would be the greatest thing in the world to happen to anyone, an invitation from Jesus himself. What would you say? Well, I really want to, but I don't think I'm ready. I can't go in there. My soul is not ready. I've sinned a lot. I haven't been to church in a long time. And confession? Forget that. I haven't received the Eucharist in ages. So I just can't do it. I cannot go in there. So we would deprive ourselves of the most glorious moment in our lives because I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid I'm not worthy of Jesus. And anyway, he would probably reject me. Lord, so many people feel that way, not knowing that you, baby Jesus, would raise your arms up to us before we were even near you, and you would say, "Come, my child, I have been waiting for you. I have been waiting for this moment with you for a long time. My love calls to you. No matter what you have done in your life, my mercy, my forgiveness is greater than all of your sins. I have been waiting to pour my mercy upon you. My child, you have blessed me today by being here by my manger. Come closer. Come closer. Allow me to hold you. Allow me to restore your childhood moments with me, your baptism, your first communion, your confirmation. Do you remember them? I saw the joy in your eyes in those moments in your childhood. And you want them back. I know you want them back. And I will give them to you. Just say yes. My gift is waiting for you. I will restore you. For you are the only one who can fill your reserved seat in the kingdom. I love you. Come back. Amen." Well, my friends, I have some phone numbers for you. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. I'm going to repeat them. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. Now, I don't know if you can see this. I've had something sitting next to me. Can you see this? Can you see this here? I'm going to lift it up to you. There it is. Is that beautiful? Is that the most beautiful picture of Jesus you've seen? And look, he's in a manger. Remember I said he was in the next room? Waiting to see you? Well, here he is. Take a good look there. There he is. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm going to keep it next to me during our entire program. I'm going to keep it right here. I hope you can see that. And then, talk to him. Even while I'm talking, you can talk to him, okay? Is that beautiful? So beautiful. I loved it when I first saw it. Had to have it, So, now, I have here some prayer intentions, which is the intent of our show, and have them right here. Okay. And I always ask for you to join me in prayer. When I'm praying for these intentions, you are the church militant. You're part of that communion of saints. And when we pray together for the intentions of our brothers and sisters, things happen. Things happen. So I need you today to join me in prayer. In your hearts, in your mind, in your spirit, just pray for them here. And now I'm looking at, I have one right here. The first one I'm looking at here is Paisley. Paisley, remember Paisley? We've been praying for Paisley. She's that sweet baby. She had a heart transplant at 5 months old. Can you imagine? And we prayed for Paisley, and she was coming along. And then on our last program, a friend of their family, Kimia, said that she was back in the hospital. Paisley was back in the hospital with some issues. And now we did get a recent report from Kim. And Kim is also a nurse, I might add. But Kimmy said Paisley was doing somewhat better. She was eating more. She was back on steroids. She had to get 2 infusions, and then as the weeks go by, she will need more infusions. She will need a lot more blood labs done. They had to get a PICC line to make sure that her hemoglobin stays stable. They don't know how this happened, because she was doing well. And now is considered to have an autoimmune hemolytic anemia, which is now lifelong. So, we certainly didn't want to hear that, but we're going to keep praying. We're not going to stop. And doctors have been trying to find in-home nursing care to help with the dressings, help with the changes, to make sure she doesn't get infected. But the upside is she's more playful. Kimmy said Paisley's more playful. She's more awake. She's happier. She's saying more words. She is loving. She loves to cuddle. And Kim says she's soaking those cuddles up. I don't blame you, Kim. I don't blame you. So we pray right now for this precious, precious child. She must be about 8 months old now. By now, she's about 8 months old. So we pray, oh Lord Jesus, baby Jesus, you must be so close to baby Paisley. This is a beautiful time of year. We await your coming. We await for a miracle for baby Paisley. The whole family does. So painful for them to watch this little child go through all that she is going through. Please, Lord, give the doctors wisdom to know how to treat her. There seems to be some unknowns here as to how to best treat her. But, Lord, you know. You're the divine healer. Please, please bring joy and good news into their lives for Christmas. We pray in expectant faith. And also at this time, I want to pray for Kim. Kimmy, who's the friend of the family. Kimmy's family has taken time to be with Paisley. And Kimmy's family is so good to others. Kimmy herself lost an 8-year-old lovely little girl, Christina, to cancer. I pray, Kimmy, for you. I believe you're listening today. I pray for you and for your family, for all that you do for others. I pray it's returned to you 100-fold, especially during this holy season. And I pray you keep getting those cuddles from Paisley. And you will. You will. We're praying for that. It's a precious child you had, Christina. What a gift. She's in heaven praying for you and praying for little Paisley. That's for sure. So, let's see. We have more prayer intentions here. We have Dan. Dan. We prayed for Dan on our last program. Dan had a squamous cancer of the eyelid. And Dan is being treated. But he's getting some encouraging results. His fiancée, Michelle, informed us that it's all good right now. They said he didn't need surgery. And we're happy to hear that. The doctors will continue watching and treating him. And Dan, when we prayed for you the last time, we prayed that the healing hands of Jesus touch your eyes, bring you peace and relief, and that your eyelids be completely healed. And we're going to continue those prayers for you as you do, as we do, our listeners are also praying for you. And that the tiny hands of the newborn King touch your eyes and fill you and Michelle with the joy of the holy season of the birth of Jesus. We're praying also for Bobby LaVita. A few months ago, doctors thought he had pancreatic cancer, and we prayed, and then nothing showed up in the tests. Now, about 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden, Bobby's jaw, tongue, his mouth locked. They just locked. And he was immediately taken to the hospital. Surgery was performed on him. But as yet, we're waiting. Should be very soon. He's going to be released from the hospital. He's been in there for 2 weeks from this. And again, there were questions as to what caused this. He does have a very serious bacterial infection. And the family was hoping that there was not any connection to the previous thought of the pancreatic cancer. So far we're going to rule that out. This is something different. This is a bacterial infection. And Bobby, I say to you, this has to be so frightening, the seriousness, the suddenness in which your jaw and tongue locked. It is not lockjaw. The doctor said it's not lockjaw. But we can understand the fear that lives in you, not knowing. The doctors did say that you were fortunate, that your dentist sent you directly to the hospital because you had an infection that was so advanced. In other words, the dentist didn't just say, oh, come into the dental office and we'll try to take care of you. No, he knew. He sent you right to the hospital. And the doctor said, had he not done that, you could have died 2 days later. God bless that dentist. Bobby, the Lord was truly looking after you. And I know my brother also was very concerned. There was great fear. And we're praying for that. We're praying for you, for your wife, Anne-Marie, for your children who love you so much. The peace and healing of the infant Jesus, that's what we offer for you at this Christmas season. And you can get back now to that loving husband and father that you are. God bless you, Bobby. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. Let's see, we have Mary DeAngelis. We prayed for Mary before. Mary sends us many prayer intentions. And less than a year ago, Mary had a fall. She had a hip replacement. And she was doing very well, very well. But she fell again while trying to help another person. And again, she had to have hip surgery. It's twice. Well, Mary wasn't calling us for prayer for herself. She was asking for prayer for her sister-in-law, Rita, who broke her hip. Oh, my. She sprained her wrist. But they couldn't operate on Rita because Rita has breathing problems. She's currently in rehabilitation at Maris Grove. Lovely place to be. But this is so difficult for Rita. So, Lord, we pray for both of these beautiful women who have suffered greatly. And, Lord, you know as we age, this is always a fear that we're going to fall. So we intercede to you, Holy Family of Nazareth, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to be ever present to them. Let Mary and Rita feel the comfort of your presence with them. Let them feel your peace in their hearts, knowing all will be well. There are people around them there to help them. Let Mary and Rita see those people as an extension of the love and care of the Holy Family with them. Victor, we're praying for Victor. He has a blocked bile duct, and there is a small tumor connected to the liver. They have to get behind it to do a biopsy. And that is the difficult part, getting behind it. Lord, you are the divine physician. You see that path to that biopsy. And we ask you, Lord, to take over the hands of that surgeon and perform that biopsy. And we also ask that the blockage be removed and that there is no cancer found. We pray that for you, Victor. And we are believing that this is going to go beautifully. We're believing that. We have here, we're praying for Erica's grandmother's friend, Carol Williams, who passed away on Tuesday. Lord, Erica's grandmother. I believe Erica is part of the ministry here. And her grandmother lost her best friend. That is always so tough. Happened to me a year ago. My best friend, after 7 years of dementia, Alzheimer's, went to the Lord. Great, great woman. So, Erica's grandmother, I know how you're feeling right now, losing Carol Williams, who passed away. She's at peace. And we're going to pray eternal rest grant unto Carol, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And we pray you that same peace to Erica's grandmother as we pray for your friend. She'll always be with you, you know, praying for you, carrying you along in your way. That's for sure. Let's see here. We have the prayer. Glenn. I think we had, we'll continue to pray for Glenn. Glenn had a lump in his neck, and it turned out to be malignant, but then they said it was on both sides. He went through weeks of chemo and radiation, went through a difficult time, and his wife Carol said he's doing better. He is now able to eat, and he went back to work. That's very promising. So that's all good, Carol said. Now, in mid-January, Glenn is going to have a PET scan and other tests to really look through his system to make sure what's going on in there, and we're going to believe it's going to be okay. If you recall, I told you that Carol was my first cousin. First, because she started baking again, and those specialty cookies and the raisin bread. She makes the raisin bread in a container, a metal container. You've never tasted anything so wonderful. Delicious. She sells them at fairs, different organizations, and malls. And Glenn, we continue to pray that you have good results in January, and may you and Carol enjoy the blessing of the baby Jesus during this Christmas season. Amen. Amen. Let's see. We have, okay, we have here. I promised, I was going to tell you a wonderful Christmas story, didn't I? Well, it's a true story about a wonderful man by the name of A.C. Gilbert. Are you familiar with that name? Alfred Carlton Gilbert. A.C. Gilbert. He invented the Erector sets. Do you remember the Erector sets? Such a popular Christmas toy. Now, if you are 35 years old or younger, you have no idea the genius behind the Erector sets. Mr. Gilbert was born in 1884. I didn't even know it was that far back. He was born in the state of Oregon. And as a young boy, his main interest, he loved athletics, he loved being in shows. He was a performer, and at one point in his life, he ran away from home, and he joined a minstrel show until his father retrieved him 20 miles from home. A few years later, he went to the academy, where he set a world record in the long jump and in wrestling. And in 1908, he competed in the Olympics in London, and he won a gold medal. He set a world record in the pole vault using a pole that he invented. Of course, some of the contestants there, the competition, weren't too thrilled with him because he was using his own pole that he invented. But he was a gracious man, Mr. Gilbert, and he said, no problem, I'll use the same pole you used. And he did. He used their poles. And he set another world record. What a person, what a man. Now, besides all these gifts, he was brilliant. He attended Yale University, and he earned a medical degree. Well, now his dad was very proud of him, and he wanted him to be a doctor. He excelled in so many fields. He could have chosen any field he wanted. He was that brilliant, Mr. Gilbert. But guess what he chose? He chose to educate and entertain children through toys. And what's that? What do I hear out there? Oh, I hear a lot of applause. Must be the children. Entertain children through toys. What better way? His father, though, was very disappointed when his son focused on making toys for children. But Gilbert was serious. He formed his own toy manufacturing company in New Haven, Connecticut. Well, one day he was on a train going from Connecticut to New York City. He was looking out the window of the train, and he saw workmen positioning steel girders that were used in construction. And that inspired him to make the Erector Set, a children's construction kit. Wasn't just a toy. And it was sold in a wooden box. At first, it wasn't selling well in a wooden box. So his wife, Mary Thompson, she said, take it out of the box and set it up in the window. See, I knew a woman had to be involved here somewhere. She gave him that advice. It was good. He listened to her and he put it in the window. Well, it became one of the most popular toys of all time. For over half a century, over 30 million were sold. The kids were building bridges. They were building railways, skyscrapers. And even if a child owned an Erector Set, at Christmas, they would ask Santa for an upgrade. Why? There was another toy out there. They wanted to make the mysterious walking giant robot. This man was just amazing. Well, at the height of his success, and this is sad, sadly, World War I broke out. And Mr. A.C. Gilbert was called to Washington, D.C. At first, he was so excited. So excited. He was like, what do these political figures want with me, these heads of these departments? But when he got there, he was very disappointed when they asked him to turn his toy factory in New Haven into a factory for ammunitions and guns for the war effort. His brother was overseas fighting the war. He was missing in action. So Mr. Gilbert felt it was his obligation to support the war effort, and he changed his toy factory into an ammunitions and gun factory. He was so unhappy. And it got worse. It got worse because the people in Washington further asked him to sponsor a campaign. Are you ready for this? They wanted him to sponsor a campaign to call off Christmas, to call off Santa for the war effort. And if this wasn't bad enough, they wanted him to put his name to the ad campaign. The ad would say, A.C. Gilbert says, don't buy toys for Christmas. Parents invest in Liberty Bonds rather than toys for Christmas. He was devastated. The children were writing to him. They were begging him, telling him how much they loved his toys. They couldn't believe that he would do that to them, that he would call off Christmas. It was really bad. But the government was very serious. It was affecting his own family, his wife and his child. And we're going to continue from there. There's more to say about this wonderful man in this terrible situation. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And after the break, we will come back. Come back. I have more to say. This is all very powerful stuff. God bless you.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, as I said, Mr. Gilbert was devastated, affected his family, was affecting everyone. He had that campaign out that was saying, call off Christmas, buy Liberty Bonds instead. Well, he knew he had to do something about it. And because it was affecting his family, the children writing to him, they were very upset. So what he did was, he went back to Washington. And this is where I saw, as I said, I felt the Holy Spirit was coming into his being and that he had to change something. It was going throughout the country here. He went back to Washington and he asked to address the Council of National Defense. He called a special meeting and he brought examples of his toys to the meeting. He told them, America was the home of educational toys that prepared our children for adulthood. And what do you think he did? He passed out his toys to the men at the meeting. And who were these men? They were the Secretary of War, the Secretary of the Navy, the Secretary of Commerce, the Secretary of the Interior, all playing with tiny submarines and engines, reading children's books, playing with the Erector set. It worked. They told Mr. Gilbert, go back to New Haven, turn your factory back to toy making. Oh, what's that I hear? Oh, a bunch of children are applauding right now. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He was praised in the press that year as the man who saved Christmas. That was his title. This one man in 1918 helped the country who was at war to rediscover the joy of the Christmas season. Mr. Gilbert died in 1960. Born 1884, died in 1960, and in that time, he was credited with over 150 patents. He was a proponent, according to one periodical, a proponent of good, clean fun. He wanted his product to better the minds of the children who enjoyed his toys so much. And besides the Erector set, he was involved in and he made the production of the finest model trains, the American Flyer trains, involved with that. He made the Gilbert chemistry set. He made a glass blowing kit. He made the microscope sets. My dear friends, could you see if you had a child and you gave that child a microscope set, that child the first time is looking through the microscope like this, looking through the microscope, he's looking at a slide under there, and for the first time he sees the magnification of seeing little creatures running around. Little creatures running around on that slide, or maybe he was looking at objects of nature, the soil, the leaves, and seeing things he never saw before. Amazing man, Mr. Gilbert. He also made the Gilbert Ferris wheels. Many of them had small electric motors. And this is what is so great. Many children found future occupations from lessons learned in their youth with these educational toys. They found their profession. They found their profession. His toys are primarily sold now by collectors, not in stores. Collectors. These collectors travel all over. They go to conventions to show and sell their Gilbert products. They take the Gilbert, the things he made, and they take them apart and they make their own products. Now get this, and this is interesting to note. When the first artificial heart was produced, they used parts that came from A.C. Gilbert's Erector set, from a child's toy. Wouldn't he have been thrilled to know that he, the man who saved Christmas, also unknowingly became part of a medical procedure that saved lives? In the end, his medical knowledge was not lost. His father was proud of him. Mr. A.C. Gilbert, Alfred Carleton Gilbert, the man who saved Christmas. What a beautiful, true story. My friends, it took a lot of courage for Mr. Gilbert to call that meeting in Washington, D.C., and tell these world leaders, because that's what they were, that he would not do that ad. He would not call off Christmas. Had he not done that, remember, our nation was at war. Our nation would have experienced one of the darkest Christmases ever. It could have turned into one of the most complete rejections of the birth of Jesus Christ. December 25th, a non-existent Christmas day. Can it happen? We've seen glimpses. We've seen bold attempts, my friends. We must be ever vigilant. We must always be aware to uphold, protect, rejoice the season of the baby Jesus, of our blessed Savior. Yes, my friends, go do it. Go do the beautiful things that you do for your family at Christmas. The gifts, the food, the decorations, do it all. It's beautiful. It's uplifting. But most important, stay strong inside. Connect with your spiritual side in Advent. That is what gives us strength to know and profess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that Christmas is His day and our day. And though they try, no one can take the baby Jesus, our Savior, from us. I have a friend who loved the baby Jesus so much. Her name was Teresa Dempsey, for you people out in Havertown. Teresa passed at the age of 93. She was 93 going on 50. I say that because she had a youthful personality. Teresa was a lyricist. She wrote lyrics to songs in the footsteps of her dad. Her dad in the 40s had hit records with some of the lyrics he wrote. Teresa truly had the spirit of Christmas, and every year between Christmas and New Year's, she would invite me, my sisters, Dolores and Rita, my friend Janet, my nieces, Michelle and Donna. She'd invite us to dinner, six of us in her apartment. It was the smallest apartment in the world. You've never seen anything so small. You know, she had a deck, but you can't sit on the deck in the winter. The deck was bigger than the apartment. No kitchen table. So she would pass out these serving tables, and we would eat. We each had a serving table. But I want to tell you, we had more fun. She had such a contagious laugh. I can hear her laughing as I speak of her now, right now. After a wonderful dinner, we would exchange gifts. We would sing. We would pray. And when time to leave, we hated to leave. She was a lyricist, and she wrote a lyric called Little Jesus, Christ Child Boy, asking Jesus to give us childlike trust. And she asked if I would put music to her lyrics, which I did. And I want to tell you, it has the beautiful, tender arrangement by my arranger, Mr. Richard Rome. He made it so special. I'd like to sing it for you. We have it on CD, and it's a perfect time of year to do it. I want to dedicate it to all of you who are listening. I want to dedicate to Teresa, who I know up there. She's smiling, laughing. I know she's listening. And do you know what, my friends? Four of the original six who went to her home are now up there with her. My sisters, Janet, my friend, my niece Donna. The two left are me and my dear niece Michelle. But Michelle is young. She still has plenty of time. Richard Rome was a genius on keyboard. And I think they're all up there having a party right now. I want to dedicate it also to Patrick, our wonderful engineer. He puts up with me every time we do these shows here. And he's going to have a wonderful Christmas this year, because he's a new grandfather to Baby Cove. That baby looks at him and stares at him. He loves his grandpa. So, I'm going to sing for you Teresa's lyric, my words, by her words, my music, and Richard's arrangement, Little Jesus, Christ Child Boy.
Childlike faith, childlike. like joy. Gift me, Lord, with childlike trust, the precious trust I need so.
That's for you, Teresa. I know you're listening. I know you are. Gift me, Lord, with childlike trust, the precious trust I need so much. She wrote a beautiful lyric. Beautiful lyric. She had many like that. Little Jesus Christ child boy. A.C. Gilbert, the man who saved Christmas, and I'm sure you'll agree it took courage for him to do that because the government was intent on doing this to Christmas. No mention of it at all. Amazing. And you know, my friends, in these times, every one of us becomes the man, the woman, the child who saves Christmas. You don't have to do anything great to save Christmas. It could be something small. A couple of weeks ago, I wanted to send some cards out and get stamps, and I always like to get the Madonna and Child stamp, you know. And one year, they didn't have it. I was upset about that. They didn't have the Madonna and Child stamp. So this year, Renee, I was in line to go buy the stamps. And it was a long line, Christmas time, you know. So when it was my turn, I went up to the window, and the gentleman behind the window said, can I help you? And I said, yes. I said, and I said this loud enough. I said, do you have the Madonna and Child stamp? And he said, yes. He said, would you like a sheet of the stamps? And I said, yes. I said, I would like a sheet of the Madonna and Child stamp. I said nothing major. I did nothing major, but I'm sure everyone heard me. And if we do that, it's telling our government we want it. We want it every year because that's who we are. And that's who we belong to. Madonna and Child, don't take it away. My friends, remember what I said, that Advent not only is our preparation for Christmas, but also our preparation for the return of Jesus in the end times. So you may say, well, what can I do? What can I do? Give yourself a gift. Go to your church. Go to your services. Go to Mass. There is power in the Holy Eucharist. It's the body of Jesus Christ. Go to confession. I promise you, you will walk out. You know, somebody see this confessional. You're going in this door and this here. You will walk out of that confessional with such a peace in your heart like you never felt before. It's like a weight being lifted from you. Like a weight being lifted from you. So, you know, Christmas is a wonderful time. It really is. It's a wonderful time. But it can also be a difficult time. I'm sure you know that. There are many reasons why sadness may fill our hearts. Often it's the loss of a family member. And we so miss their presence, don't we? It's not the same without them. You may be unemployed. You don't have the finances to get your children the gifts or pay the bills, and you feel like a failure. You may have family relationships that are severed, really severed. That's always painful. You should be celebrating with family, and you see it may not happen. Even the separation of divorce may weigh heavily on your lives. You worry again about the children. Medical issues. You may not feel well. medical issues that pull you down. You don't have the strength. You can't do things you used to do. Some of our brothers and sisters are spending Christmas in the hospital. And I'm sure you've even heard people say, maybe you said it yourself, I can't wait till these holidays are over. You see that, huh? We also worry about problems in our country, in our world. Things can be devastating. Things can be devastating. We just have never seen such terrible things going on all over at the same time. You know, that's what's happening, is like the same times. I want to tell you, I just recently, I saw in the news, I'm sure you've been seeing a lot of things in the news, in the town of Portland, they were going to have a Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Santa would be there. A group of people were there who were supporting a terrorist group. A group of people, they were also there with their children. They wanted to have fun. They wanted to sing. But this group took over the stage area. They had signs I can't repeat. The mayor said he had to drag Santa onto the stage. Of course, he was afraid to go up there. A.C. Gilbert was born in Oregon. He would have been mortified to see this happen in the state of his birth. Very, very sad. We've seen some of our institutions of higher learning, our universities, become institutions of violence and hatred as they permitted the masses to revolt against our Jewish brothers and sisters. They were afraid to go to class, afraid of being attacked, and the cowardice of faculty to let it continue. I couldn't believe what I was seeing in these times. I think you may feel the same way. And I don't think for 1 minute that it's over. We've just recently witnessed the terrible thing happen at Brown and to that very gifted professor. You know, we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant. We have to be aware of what's going on. And as I said, do the beautiful things you do for your family. That's the good stuff you can do. Go to your services. Eat the good food. Boo the decorations. That's wonderful. But you must stay strong inside. You must stay strong inside. It's just so beautiful to be able to share all of this with you today. The frightening part of having Christmas being taken from us back in 1918, and then to see that we're dealing with some stuff like this, aren't we? It's out there, and it looks like it's growing. We cannot let that be. We cannot let that happen. I said in the beginning of our program that the baby Jesus is calling you to his manger. Remember when I said that at the very beginning? And I said, what do you think about that? Do you want to go in the room to see him? He's calling you by the manger. And the reply was, oh, I don't know. I've had too many sins. He won't accept me. And I went through all of that. He loves you very much. He hears the faint cry in your heart. And he'll leave the 99 others to come and find you. That's how precious you are to him. Precious you are to him. My friends, in our suffering, in our darkness, we are promised a great light. It's in Scripture. We're promised a great light. We are promised the one who can make our gladness greater, who can make our joy complete. We are promised a child of hope. No matter what is happening in your life, we are promised a child of hope. Now I'm looking here. I have another prayer intention here we can get to. Let's see. We can get to this. Wonderful. Okay. Let's see. We have Irene. Irene has kidney problems. And she also has basal cell carcinoma on her leg. She's waiting to be treated. her son Mario is taking care of her. He has hip problems. God bless you, Irene. It says here that you are waiting to be treated. I'm not sure what that means. I pray you can be treated as soon as possible. I'm sure you know kidney problems are serious. Don't want it to get worse. And the basal cell carcinoma is the most common of the skin cancer treatments. Treatments are often involve surgical removal. And how beautiful that your son Mario is taking care of you. He has hip problems. I'm sure at times it's difficult for him. So Lord, we pray that whatever obstacles may be in Irene's way from getting treatment that she needs, we pray that they be removed. And I ask you, Mary, most blessed mother of Jesus, as you cared for Jesus' every need, be that mother who was there for Irene. Help her to get the help that she needs. And I also ask for a special blessing from Saint Joseph for Irene's son, Mario. Saint Joseph was there to look over and protect the Holy Family. And Saint Joseph will help Mario with his hip problem. Help him to get treatment that he needs. And it will help him so much as he continues to be there for his mother. We have Richard. Richard was born with a hole in his heart. And he's about to have his fifth heart surgery at the University of Pennsylvania. He's 43 years old. And you're young and you ask for prayer. And Richard, there's tremendous power in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. His heart was wounded for us on the cross. He knows what you're going through. We're praying for you. Jesus wants you to reflect on his love that he's pouring out to you from his Sacred Heart. He will be with you in that surgery. He will be with you. Oh, little baby born in Bethlehem, may it shine on you, on all of you. He is looking at all of you out there. Here he is again. He's looking at you in the night. Let him find you, that you may experience the warmth of his crib at Christmas and always. And that you will know that you belong, and you belong to him, this precious baby. I again pray for Paisley, baby to baby. Oh, Lord Jesus, give that baby a miracle. God bless you, my friends. May the peace of Jesus Christ come upon you and your loved ones and be born in your hearts on Christmas Day. I love you.